Good morning, Relentless Church. How we doing? You look good. You look real good. We're so happy you're here. If you're here for the first time, that's a big deal to us. Thank you for being here. If it's your second or third or fifth time, as you're ready, you can go on our website, relentlesschurch.cc. You can fill out a connect card that lets us know who you are and lets us start to communicate with you about church information. This is the last week of a series, but if you're new with us, we'll catch you up, and we're so glad you're here. We've been in this Cool It Now series, so that's the last week you got to hear the alarm clock on the video, but we've been cooling it and trying to slow down, and I've been so encouraged by you, our church, willing to step into some hard things and just make some changes. Last week, we talked a lot about, hey, what is God calling you to do? I don't know, but we hopefully, you are figuring that out with God, and just some beautiful stories of a family was telling me about turning the TV off and playing Monopoly for the first time in a little while. I got a text from a guy saying that he took Facebook off his phone, and his quote was, it's been quite peaceful, all right, to not have that on his phone. And we don't know if God's calling you to do that. We just know God's calling us to slow down and enjoy him. So we've been talking through that. And as we get to the last week of the series, man, there's so much that we didn't get to, right? There's so much that, I wanted to say, we're going to finish this strong today, but there's so many, things. One that I'll throw in here is this screen time app. Are you familiar? Right, so I don't know what the Android version of that is, but whatever kind of phone you have, if you have a phone, there's a version of it'll track how much time you're spending on your phone. And I'll never forget the first time, like, I didn't know this was coming. We were loading, we used to meet at a movie theater as a church. We've just been in this building in 2019, and it was a year ago last fall. We were loading in, and all of a sudden, we all got the same notification at the same time on a Sunday morning, and it said, you spent this many hours on your phone in the last week. And it was an ungodly number on mine. And I was like, that can't be right, right? So, and since then, now, so it's tracked, and that's been a part of what I'm trying. Like, I don't have a goal as far as a number. I just want it to be less this week than it was last week. So since we started this series, I've been having a less total time on my phone in a week than I did the previous week. And that's been good for me. But it's like, man, when it just puts it out there, it just calls you out because it's your phone and it's data and it's stats. It's like, man, what are we doing to ourselves? And last week, a young man in our church came up to me in full respect and said, listen, if you're going to preach about this kind of stuff, you got to give me a heads up. Right? Because I don't want my mom and me being in the same room hearing this kind of device. So, young people. Now, when I say young people, sometimes some of you get confused and you're like, hey, I'm 34. I'm not talking to you. When I say young people, right, I'm talking to our middle school students, our high school students, our college students, our 20-somethings, right, college age, right? So young people, I know that some of this has been difficult, although, to be honest, some of the best feedback I've gotten is from our younger generation. Right, there's something in some of them, at least, it's like, thank you, right? There's something, we know there's something off, but I wanted you to hear from somebody other than me, young people. Now, this is a dude that's older than me, but he's cooler than me, right? Imagine that. He's famous to a lot of people. He's a friend of mine. I call him DW. You don't know him as that, but I just texted him this week. I was like, listen, man, we're finishing this series. Could you give the young people of our church, could you just give them some wisdom, some hard wisdom? Just speak from the heart about all this stuff. And DW is a cool dude. He's like, yeah, I can do that for you. So he shot this video for us. It's only a minute long, so I want you to check this out.
Turn it off. That's what I would say. It's hard for young people now because they're hooked. They're addicted. If you don't think you're addicted, and I'm talking about anyone, from the highest to the lowest. If you don't think you're addicted, then see if you can turn it off for a week. It got quiet in here, didn't it? Didn't it get real quiet? It's a tool, so we should use it. God has blessed us with free will. Now it's free will magnified, free will on steroids. You're free to go in any direction you want. It will allow you, and it's not the enemy. It's just a reflection of our own free will. And we all want to be liked. But now we want to be liked by 16 million. And will now some of us do anything to be liked? We used to do anything to be liked, but it was by the person in front of you. Now it's to be liked by 16 million people that you don't know. We have to ask ourselves, what is the long-term, if not the short-term effect of too much information?
Yeah. It's good to know people, what I'm saying. So I appreciate DW coming through for us in that way. The analogy that stuck, I read so much on this topic leading up, and the analogy that stuck with me, this isn't scripture, this isn't from God, I don't even know if I believe this fully, but it stuck with me, and I want it to maybe stick with you, is, and people my age and older will know this, I didn't have bad parents, I had great parents, but the way that we viewed the seatbelt back in the day was very different. Right, I can remember riding around in a station wagon in the back, not even the back seat, but in the hatch, right? Just riding around, me and friends, because we had a full car. And it wasn't illegal, or maybe it was, and we didn't know. I don't think it was illegal. It's just what you did, right? And my parents were, I think, on the strict end of the spectrum. But people, you know, my age or older, like, seatbelts were cool and all, but they were an optional. They weren't a big deal. And then as the data came in, right, we saw, oh, my goodness, like, percentage, you're much more likely to die. Accidents happen. You're much more likely to go from a minor accident to a major accident if you're not wearing your seatbelt. So parents today, like, we, you know, you look around and you go off on a kid, like, what are you doing? You got to wear your seatbelt. That's just a no-brainer, because we know more today than we knew then. Here's the analogy. There's some people that are a lot smarter than me that study this, that have letters behind their names that I don't have. They think a generation from now, we'll look back at this first parent generation that raised kids with devices, and we'll look at them as we do the parents in seatbelts in the 80s, like, man, they didn't know, but oh my goodness, what did we allow this generation to grow up in? Now again, I don't know how fully I believe that, and it's that's not from God, that's just what people are, as the more data we get, right, the more sure it looks like we have no idea, his question, the cost of too much information. So we tried to do something about that. We tried to take some steps, and you figure out what your step is for you and your dorm room or your situation or your family or wherever context you live in. And I wanted to make a connection also that we haven't talked about a ton, and I'm going to give you a book reference in a second, but there's a lot of data on physical health and all this stuff, right? Now don't, if you're sick and you get sick this week, Thanksgiving week, right? It's not because you did something wrong. So we don't believe that when you get sick, you must have messed up. I'm not saying that, don't believe that. But there's a ton of data that if you run too fast, faster, or you don't Sabbath, all the stuff we've been talking about in this series, if you run at a pace that is not the pace that God designed you to run at, your body's most likely going to respond in a negative way, right? So there's a bunch of connections there. Again, how deep you want to go, that's up to you. But there's a book that I want to put on the screen right now. This is Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, right? She, I've heard her teach this, and it is good. And I wish I'd have gotten onto this book, you know, months ago instead of weeks ago, because I could have used it a lot more. But she's really saying a lot of what we've been saying, but it's very practical, right? So Amazon, you know, it can be here. If you got one of the accounts, it'll be here tomorrow, right? All you got to do is think it. You don't even have to do it on your phone now. You just have to think it. I want that book. And it orders it. It's amazing, right? So careful what you're thinking, because it'll cost you, right? But she walks through the physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. She's a doctor who follows Jesus, right? That's really valuable. And I am learning so much from the content of this book. So as far as, like, next step, I'm not ready. We don't want you to move on from this series. We want to live in this. That's what we design our series, to not just be a series, but to be part of our community and church life. So that is the book I recommend. Maybe that's a Christmas present. Maybe you don't need to wait till Christmas. I don't know. So today, as we close this deal out, right, I want to look at, we've been talking about pace, right, and slowing down, and how pace affects this word, peace. Right, my guy that texted me that he'd taken Facebook off and it was quite peaceful, that was his quote. Right, how does pace and peace, because they have a direct correlation, your pace affects your peace, and we're going to look at the word of God, and it's a letter written to a church in Philippi, and Philippi had come behind Paul and sent money to, you know, it takes money to fund the gospel 2,000 years ago as it does today. We're so thankful to be in a generous church, and Paul was thanking these people at the church in Philippi for their financial generosity that allowed the gospel to go out. And in this letter that we believe was Paul writing as a man, but he was carried by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit involved himself in the writing of the scripture so that we could not study the words of man, but that we could study the words of God revealed to man. So in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says something that I think is insane. You tell me what you think. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. I don't like that, right? That's not helpful, right? That's ridiculous, because anything means anything, and I'm just looking around the room, and I don't know all your stories, but I know enough. Like, that's rude, right? Some of what you bring in here, oh my goodness, like, we're praying for you, but there's part of us that's like, man, I don't know how they are carrying that. And here's the Lord speaking through Paul to you today and saying, hey, don't be anxious. About what, Lord? Anything. Man, that's ridiculous. As we talk about young people, as we talk about our church, as we look forward to a January series, we're going to help you understand, can you base your life on a book? Is it even a book? What is all this stuff? And in that, man, the question is, can you trust this? And you read stuff like this, you just take one verse out, Philippians 4:6. Well, don't be anxious about anything. Man, I'm done. Like, that doesn't hold water. Like, that's not real life. Like, it's maybe cool on a Christmas card, but who doesn't get anxious about anything? I don't know that person. They're not on the stage, I can tell you that. But as I unpack this and, like, just feeling my reaction to this is, man, is this ridiculous? Is this real? Does God know me? Because if he knew me, if he really wired me and made me who I am, made you who you are, then, man, is he really going to come at us with don't be anxious about anything? And in that, I found that I've never been so thankful for a comma. As I have in this verse. But before it gets better, it gets worse. Comma, but in every situation. Oh my goodness, Lord. Right? First, don't be anxious about anything. Like, anything can't really mean anything. And then he says, in every situation. You know what every situation means? In any situation, every situation means every. It may basically be like this. Okay, we're almost to the new year. We're not quite talking about New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. But basically, it'd be me pulling you aside today and say, listen, man, the Lord put something on my heart to tell you. I just want you to leave with this and just go live in this beautiful truth. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to not be anxious about anything ever. Go get them. Right? Are you just like, yeah, no. No, that is discouraging, because you know and I know that you're going to be anxious about something, and then to say in every situation. But then we're thankful for that comma that leads to this. The next part of the verse says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. All right, so we got to tie all that. That's a beautiful verse, right? It starts off kind of, what are you telling me? Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, what? In every situation, by. There's a method here. The method is what we refer to as prayer, but it gives us three distinct types of prayerness. It talks about prayer as like the talking prayer. Right? That's that first word. It's just kind of a conversation with God by prayer. It's a talking. And then second, it's this petition, this asking, give me, right? And then it's the third, it's the thanking God, right? Our culture kind of stops and thanks God, or some of our culture just thanks whoever, not God, but something, right? But we're in a thankful mood. Well, as Christians, we live in this culture of we always are thanking God. So we're praying, we're talking to God, we're asking of God, and we're thanking God. Now, this prayer, according to this, if we could go back to verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. This prayer, it does something in us. Right? It's not just about God, I want you to hear this, that somehow prayer does something on the end. God uses my prayer to do something in me. Right? There's this old book that I read that had an impact on me way back, and I love the title. It says, Too Busy Not to Pray. Right, because the connection here is our pace and our busyness. A lot of our prayer lives are, I would love to pray, right? I just don't ever have time, right? And that time not to pray causes us to live lives that depend on ourselves, which leads to anxiety, which leads to issues, which leads to lack of dependence on Him, which means dependence on ourselves, which never goes well, right? And our prayer does something on the inside of us. We're not too busy to pray. If you really understand what prayer is, you're too busy not to pray. And what do we do when we just talk to Him? When? In every situation. What? Like, there's some situations, I don't want to talk to God. But God says, no, bring it. I see, right? I know what's going on inside of you. Bring it. Talk to me in every situation by prayer and by petition. It's okay to ask for things. He wants you to, right? Michael, one of our guys in the back who's been with us from the beginning of Relentless, he told me this story a couple weeks ago. He does construction. He's on the multi-ethnic. If you guys didn't check the multi-ethnic Monday video that we put out there, it had four of our guys, two African-American men, two white men, talking about white privilege. It was a beautiful video, and I was a little disappointed that more of you didn't watch it. So get on that. It's on our Facebook page. Michael was the guy with the beard, right? So young guy, he runs his own company construction. He was telling me this story that he had equipment, expensive, important equipment that wasn't working. So he spent all entire Friday night, he and his buddy Jed, who are both back in the back right now, working on this equipment, couldn't get it to work. Saturday, had to go back and work on the equipment because the equipment's important and it still wasn't working, and was talking to Jed's mom, Shalon, who's in the house today. And Shalon asked a simple question, have you prayed about it? Right? And Michael's reaction as he's telling me the story is like, ah, you know, prayer. Oh, yeah. Right? And his story, not mine. I double-checked this. I fact-checked this morning. You know, he had that conversation with Shalon. They prayed about it as they drove back to the place. They had gotten some parts on Saturday morning. Within 5 minutes, equipment was working. Right? Now, you hear those stories, you read those in certain whatever, and it's like, yeah, is that true or not? Like, I only tell those stories because you can go, well, you don't believe him, go talk to Michael, right, afterwards. That's our relentless story. Why? Because he asked. Well, why didn't God just fix it? He loves to reward. He loves to be counted on. He loves to be not consulted but depended on. By prayer, by petition, and with thanksgiving. That's this week, right? So, man, in every situation, pray, ask, thank. Some of you are really excited about who's coming to your house this week. Some of you not so much, right? Don't look, keep your head straight, right? Don't be doing that. And maybe, like, I'm joking, but I'm not, right? Maybe when that uncle starts to bring up politics on Thursday and you just want to watch football and enjoy the food, man, what do I say to God? Something? Pray, ask. Don't ask him like to snuff him out. That's not a good prayer, right? But pray, petition, thank. I'm thankful I got an uncle, right? Thankful for, like, you got to work hard, but sometimes, like, everything, we're thankful. That's who we are. Why? Because of the gospel, not because we have, you know, we all have issues, but because, man, at the end of the day, whatever happens on Thursday, whoever you have to eat with or don't have to eat with, and I love how our church is learning to find those people who don't have family and aren't traveling and try to, hey, come eat with. I love those stories. And wherever you're at, whatever is going on, the truth of the gospel is still true. You were rescued and adopted. And that's amazing to think about again today. So we live in this thankful attitude. We're just constantly coming to God with that. Now, let's tie it back. Let me go back to the verse, because this is huge, right? To not separate. Go back to verse 6, right? So don't be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition. Thanksgiving, thank you. There you go. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So we got it. Like, the part that's highlighted right now is connected to the beginning. Do not be anxious about anything. I can't do that. In every situation, now you're just being ridiculous, God. How do I not be anxious? It's not that you're not anxious. He knows we're anxious. We've talked about Peter's verse in Peter where he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, which implies that God knows you have anxiety. He's not like, how dare you? Find me the verse where it says, don't have anxiety. It doesn't say, well, it says don't be anxious. No, it doesn't say don't be anxious. It says don't be anxious about anything in every situation, but do something with the anxiety. What? By prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving is what we're supposed to funnel our anxiety through. So don't feel guilty, and this is hard to talk about, especially like a quick shot like this about anxiety, because it's such a spectrum in the room. There is nobody in the room that doesn't deal with anxiety on some level. Nobody. But there's a spectrum of, you know, kind of day-to-day anxiety versus some in the room that this is like their biggest, hardest struggle in life. And it's heavy and it's not a small thing in any way, right? So we acknowledge that, but in all that, so sometimes Dr. Dalton Smith, the book that I put up there, she does a great job of talking about, man, you don't have to minimize prayer. We are all in on prayer, but don't think that prayer and medicine can't work together. Right? So you gotta read that book. That's what you gotta do. But the truth for wherever you are is that there's this, not formula, because it's better than that, it's a relationship, but by prayer, asking of God with thanksgiving, by those things, you take your anxiety and you put it in his lap. Well, what do I do? You pray. Your prayer is your part of that. By prayer and petition and thanksgiving, you present your requests to God. So you pray about everything in every situation. That is what we do with our anxiousness. And the point of this series has been, if you're too busy and chaotic and stressed to even pray, then what are you going to do with your anxiety? Amen. You're going to hold it. And it doesn't go well, ever, for anyone, including myself. And that's verse 6, and verse 7 is even better. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God. Right? So mankind went in and put these numbers in so we could find stuff. Remember, when God was, through his Spirit, was putting these words on the pen of Paul, right, there was no verses. It was all one thought. Don't be anxious about anything. Right? But with in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and connects to that, and the peace. Ooh, the peace of God. It's not a peace, right? We know about peace. Everybody's heard of peace, right? Some people are like, man, I just peace. When I go to the salon, ooh, right? When I eat this certain food, right? Ooh, you know, when my team wins, right? That's all good. But that's a peace, right? It's a certain kind of, you can define peace however you want. That's not what this is. This is the peace. The peace of God. It's different. Right? And, you know, we always are talking about ball. We spend so much time in the gym as the Jones family with my kids, and we love it. And the gym ball version of this is you see a player, he or she, and somebody says, hey, they're good. And somebody's like, no, he different. Right? When they're that good, you don't even put the is in there, because the is just is a waste of letters, right? You don't say, he is different. He's like, no, he different. What is he different? No, it's like, everybody's good, right? There's a lot of good players, but this is generational. This is no, good doesn't fit him. He different, right? It sets him apart from everybody else you're talking about. You say that. You don't say that about just anybody. You say about that guy, right? There's peace, and there's all kinds of versions of peace in our world, and they're not bad, but that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about different, the peace. We've felt that in this church, the peace of God. That peace that, man, where did that come from? The next part of the verse says, the peace that transcends all understanding. It means whatever our brains are capable of, it surpasses that. We have testimonies throughout history, which is great. I never, like, downplay that. But, man, we have testimonies in this room of this peace that, like, the honest, the commonality is, man, I don't really have words. I remember so many times in my life that I could share of this peace, but one or a couple that I'll share this morning. One, my wife and I, she's not in the room. She's in elementary, so she would be mortified if I did this when she was in the room, so I'll do it with her out of the room. Like, she is, I don't say this enough, she is an amazing woman of God, right? Kelly, if you haven't met her, you should. She's an amazing woman of God. From the day I started dating her, right, she knew that she wanted more than anything to be a mother, right? So we were married in 1997, and we thought, you know, we took the classes and stuff. We thought we knew what it took to have a baby. It didn't, we thought it was, we'd heard it was pretty simple, but We came, introduced this thing called infertility that I didn't even know it was a thing. Nobody ever taught me about that. But we had physical medical issues which prevented us medically from getting pregnant. Now, God eventually, if you know our whole story, eventually overcame all the stuff. But at the time, we were told by a doctor, yeah, that's not happening. So we tried, you know, in vitro fertilization, spent all kinds of money, investigated, did this and that, and just over and over again. And eventually, God called us. It was beautiful and longer than I have. God called us to adoption. And we got super excited about adoption. And man, my wife, just to see my wife hurt for those years, like, I know God put this in me, but I don't know. It just didn't add up, but we're just trying to trust and all that. And I was preaching in the church we were in. And I just got real and shared about, man, this is what we're going through. And it connected to the message I was preaching. And just talking about, man, what do you do when you're trusting God, but there's just no evidence that he's hearing what you're saying. So I shared with our struggle with infertility and kind of went on about my day. What we didn't know till later on that Sunday, there was a midwife in our church. And she heard me preach that message. And she went back to a client of hers who was pregnant and not sure what she was going to do in her pregnancy. And she said, hey, one of my pastors preached this message, and they're looking into adoption, and told her our story. And she just asked the woman that was her client, hey, would you ever consider giving up your baby for adoption? Now, I don't know the story from that day until months later, but months later, she would tell the midwife in very bold terms, I'm convinced that God wants me to give this baby up for adoption. That baby was playing drums a few minutes ago. Now he's sitting on the front row. That became Jackson Jones, our baby boy at the time. So we got to go private adoption, though. I don't know what it is here, but that was never an option for us because I had to protect my wife. We had been through so much junk and she'd been so hurt. And now with private adoption, unlike adoption through an agency, there's 21 days between birth and the 21st day where a birth mother can change her mind for any reason. So here we are, we get to go to the hospital and meet our baby boy and bring him home. And here we are for the longest 21 days. Where at any moment, you come knock on my door on day 17 and say, hey, dude, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, that means you too, right? Look it up, right? Get off my porch, right? I don't know what to do. And like, don't be anxious. How am I not to be like this? We've fallen in love with this boy. This is everything. God, you wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't come back at the last second and God blessed and he was so good. But in those 21 days, we didn't know what to do except just by prayer and petition and thanksgiving. And I don't know. And like, oh, that's so awesome. I didn't have any freak out moments. Oh, we had our freak out moments. Don't think that trusting God means there's never freak out moments. The freak out moments is the bridge to get you to know who to count on. And I'm telling you, as crazy as those 21 days were, the peace of God was with us. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew enough to know I'm not alone. We're not alone in this. And it had that story, you know, has a beautiful, amazing conclusion. There's others that don't. I remember Our staff was so good to me when my dad was sick. It let me have a lot of time off. I was in Kentucky. He was in Winston-Salem where I grew up and diagnosed with terminal cancer. We had 17 months with him and got to come down as much as I could. Well, our whole staff was going to a conference in South Carolina, and the quickest way from Kentucky to South Carolina is not through Winston-Salem, but they said, hey, let's go, instead of going to a hotel the night before, let's spend the night with your parents so you can spend time with your dad, and then we'll go to the conference the next day. So I just remember that, and he still had, I don't know, a while at that point. He wasn't, you know, in hospice or anything, but I just remember spending that time with him, being thankful that we were there, and then walking, giving him a hug, and walking out to the church van to drive to the conference, and just, like, it just hit me, like, where we are, and what's coming, and the reality of that, and I just hated it, right? And what none of my fellow staff, what none of them did is put their arm around me and say, hey, brother, don't be anxious about anything, man, because in every situation, no, it's not about quoting it. It's actually better than that. Because by prayer and dependence and petition and asking and helping and thanksgiving, even in the hardest times, and the peace of God. And in that van and on that day and at the cemetery and in the middle and in hospice and every day since, the peace of God, which I can't even explain to you fully. Because it transcends all, we can't put this in a box. It's better than however we can describe it. It's just real. And you have your own story, a lot of you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're here today, it's like, man, I don't know the peace of God. You're in the right place. Right, and we can talk about all God's done, and I love the stories where, hey, we didn't pray and the equipment got fixed. Like, I love those all day long, but you know what? A lot of times what people that don't have faith, and I'm not sure, what moves them to faith is the hard stories. So if you're in the hard right now, it's not just about you. God's going to use that maybe to bring somebody from death to life. The reality in all of it is that there is a peace, not a peace, the peace of God. And it blows our minds, it transcends, it goes past what we can fully understand. And here's what that peace does, the last bit of the verse. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that guard, that's not, don't think sports. That guard, that's a military term, right? That's somebody important, like a general or whatever. Like they got committed soldiers that their only job is to guard that person. That's the kind of the visual that the scripture is giving us when Paul wrote, hey, to the church in Philippi, now the relentless church here, and to all of God's people. He said, don't be anxious about anything. In every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which will blow your mind. What will that peace of God, because the peace of God, how does an emotion guard you? It's not an emotion. The peace of God is Jesus. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. That Jesus, that peace will guard your what? Your minds and your hearts. In Jesus, your mind and what you're thinking about and your hearts will be guarded with the peace of God. Is that not an amazing thought? That nobody's getting in here. Like I'm being protected by Jesus himself and his peace. It's protecting my mind and my heart. Well, how do I bring that protection? You pray. Man, I didn't know all that was happening when I prayed. Maybe we'll pray a little harder this week and a little more, it'll be a little more fun, a little more exciting, a little more urgent, man. I gotta get in there and like get with my God and slow down and be still and all the stuff we're talking about. Why? Because when you pray, you invite the peace of God into your mind and into your heart and protection. And again, it's not about don't struggle. Jesus, Luke tells us that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death before he went to the cross. He was overwhelmed. What did he do? He prayed. Right? He lived that example out for us. So some of you come in here and you think, man, I'm just struggling. And she's like, no, you're not. You haven't, you're here, right? You haven't given up. And why haven't you given up? Because you had no idea that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, was guarding you, right? You think, man, I'm struggling. No, you're not struggling. There was a whole plan for you to completely fall apart and give up and surrender in the bad way. There was a whole plan for you to be done with Jesus, done with people, done with yourself. But you haven't given up. Why? Because you're awesome? No, because the peace of God has been guarding your heart and your mind. Jesus himself has been playing protection and like, no, nobody's getting to my guy. Nobody's getting to my girl. No, they're mine and I will guard their mind and their heart. They're not going to give up because of the peace of God. So don't act like struggle is failure. Struggle is not failure. And even when you really fail, it's not failure. Because in that, God is still here and he's saying, I've been guarding you, and I've been faithful, and there won't be a day, as we sang, that I'll ever give up on you. Man, the faithfulness of God, we could be here till 3 a.m. talking about the faithfulness of God in this room. We could tell story after story, and again, if you don't have those stories, you will. Just take a step. Just take a step towards him. But if you do have those stories, man, I want you to think about them right now. I want them to come to your mind. Where has God come through? Where have you experienced? Maybe it's a beautiful story, like I shared the adoption of our first son. Maybe it's a really hard story that's more similar to my dad. Maybe it's somewhere nothing to do like that. But I just want you to start to allow your mind to dwell on the times where God has been faithful to you. I don't know those stories. Here's what I know that's true for everybody in the room. What we're about to celebrate as a culture is a baby that came for a reason, to rescue and adopt you once and for all into his family. That's how faithful he is, that he would send his son so that we could be his, so that we could be guarded, so that we could be sons and daughters. And I just want us, and I got a little more to say to you after this song, but I want us in the conclusion of this series that I pray goes way past today. I wanted us to collectively together declare the faithfulness of God in song. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to have this moment, you and God, whatever you feel led to do. Father, we come before you acknowledging with our mouths that you are a faithful God, and I'm so busy sometimes, I don't even stop and thank you for all you've done. God, even in the telling, like I can wake up and look at my son and thank you for him, but sometimes it's even in the pace of my life, it's easy to forget all you did. In my home, in my marriage, with my kids, in relentless church. God, you know, don't let me stand up here and act like I haven't been anxious as the pastor of this church. In those early days, as we were calling earlier this morning, God, when I stood and peeked out the window and just asked you out loud, God, is anybody going to show up? But in all that, God, we just, day after day, we see your faithfulness. God, for those in the room who haven't seen it or aren't sure of it or just beginning a journey with you, God, I pray you would show them your faithfulness all over again. And God, in this moment as a church, that we could be so bold in declaring the truth of this great old song. It's in Jesus' name we pray and sing now. Amen. Would you stand? Thank you for going with us there. And if you're new with us, maybe I know we've got quite a few folks we're so thankful for. This is your first series with us as a church or your second series with us. We spend time and really seek God on our series because we want all of our series to go with us even after they're gone. So we talked a little more about this last week. I won't go all back into it, but we've really called our church to three things in this whole series. One, to Sabbath, which we talked a lot about last week, and two, to be still. Some of you, that moment of being still before God or those 5 minutes or whatever you've been doing, that needs to go with you after we're not talking about it from stage. That needs to become a habit in your life that's more than a habit. It's a relationship thing with you and God. And then to be present, as we talked about last week, with God and with people. Those are powerful things that maybe three is overwhelming to you. So pick one and just say, hey, here's what I want to take into December and to 2020 with you, even though this series ends today. One of the things that we've noticed in my life, in our church life, is when we let you know kind of what's going on and what's coming, that helps us have some peace. It helps us have some excitement, and it's not quite as chaotic around here. So some of the things we do as a church connect to this series, trying to take care of our people and be healthy. And I just wanted to walk through what's coming to get you a little bit excited about next week, because next week we start our Christmas series, and it's called Wonder. That's the name of our Relentless Christmas series. It has nothing to do with bread. Wonder Bread has nothing to do with Stevie, right? But it's about, and I'll unpack this next week, but it's about, man, have we maybe lost our wow? And I really believe this, church. I believe that God's going to bring our wow back over the next few Sundays. So next week, I'll unpack that. And also next week, Angel Tree Your gifts have to be back. I'm so thrilled with what Vasti announced, that we've only got a few tags left. So if you haven't gotten in on that, today's the last day to do it. But everybody's got to bring your gifts back for these kids in the community that that we're so happy to bless these families that are in need. So that's due back next week, as well as the start of our Wonder Series. December 8th, our associate pastor, Raf Gonzalez, Raf G, will be bringing it on the Wonder of Worship. And then December 15th will be the Wonder of Grace. And this is going to be our last Baptism Sunday of 2019. All right, so this is just, we get to just be wowed again by grace. And some of you who've heard us talk about this, some of you are realizing that you've believed in God for a long time, but you've never trusted Him. Right? And baptism is this beautiful picture of surrender. So don't think God's not knocking on the door. I just know in this room today, some of you right now, you know December 15th is supposed to be a different day for you. A life-changing milestone, mile marker. I surrender as Jesus was on the cross, died, rose again, and everything was different. That's your day to surrender into water baptism. We'll do that on December 15th. If you have questions about that or are thinking about that, we'd love to walk through and talk through that with you. That's December 15th. Now, I wanted to take a second today and tell you about December 22nd, because it hit me this Monday night. We had our partnership experience. We don't have members here. We have partners. And it was the first time, I think it was the first time, that if you count up all the people in the room that were there, half of them, or more than half of them, had never been to Relentless Church in the movie theater. Right? So we were in the movie theater for 4 years. And isn't that great? That's a beautiful thing. What that means, though, is there's a lot of you that have never been through Christmas with Relentless. So here's our quick story of this. We did Christmas Eve services the first few years of our church, and they were great, and it was not like, it was awesome, right? But as a church, and in this series, this works this morning, as we talk about health and rest, a lot of you don't know, and we're not mad at you. We're going to, you know, invite you in, continue to ask for you to join us as you're ready and serve. And so many of you have signed up in the last few months to start serving, which is great. It takes a lot to make this thing go, all right? The people behind me, and there's a people out here, and there's a bunch of people that you never see because they're always before and after and behind the scenes, but there's a bunch of servant Jesus people that make Relentless Church happen every week. So we realize, man, we're asking them to do Sunday after Sunday in December, and then we're asking them to come on Christmas Eve, which most of them, you know, we're super joyful and excited to do, but then we realize, man, we're asking, more, most importantly, we're asking you to bring people. Right, people that don't normally go to church. We're a church for the untold and unconvinced. And on Christmas Eve, 99% of them have plans, right? So we're making grandma mad. We're all this stuff on Christmas Eve. So for us, so I know churches do Christmas Eve, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's great, right? We've been to some of those as a family. We decided 3 years ago, man, that's not us. So we still want to do a big Christmas Eve service. We're just going to do it on Sunday. Right, so we don't do a service on Christmas Eve. We do our special Christmas Eve service on the Sunday before Christmas. So this year that falls on December 22nd. And it's a special service. It's a shorter service, right? Because we want you to bring people. We want you to bring people to this whole Wonder Series. But especially on the 22nd, there's people that will go to a Christmas service that won't go. Like, that's the day. And you invite them in. We have our elementary kids in here with us. It's going to be incredible. I'm so excited about the service. We're going to do two. Right? This room is a lot bigger than the theater. We can pack a lot of people in here, but we're anticipating you bringing so many people that we need to do two services on the 22nd. So the times will be 9:30 and 11. We'll split where we are at 10:15. So December 22nd will be our big bust-out Christmas service, two services, 9:30, 11. I want you to know and be anticipating and be excited about that. Then on December 29th, we started this the very first year. It's the only Sunday in the year we don't have a service. And this is just a chance for all the people that work so hard and our whole church to just take a breath. Relax, right? A lot of you will be out of town anyway, but just take a breath and get really excited. And it really leads to an anticipation, because for us, like, we've learned to love each other. 2 weeks without seeing each other can feel like a long time, right? So by the time we get back together, it's a whole new year. It's January 5th. It's 2020. New series, new all kinds of stuff. And there's an announcement that affects 2020 that's so big, I'm not even going to tell you today. I'm going to tease that. I'm going to tell you that next week, all right? So there's one more announcement that doesn't fit in this long string, because it gets its own spot. That's how big that is coming next week. So I wanted you to see that coming out of this series. I want you to be excited about Wonder and the Wonder of Worship and the Wonder of Grace, and then our big Christmas Eve service that we don't do on Christmas Eve, right? We do it on Sunday morning, because here's what I found. The Sunday before Christmas, at least for people that are in town, They don't have a lot of competition at 9:30. They don't have a lot of plans. A lot of people aren't doing a big family thing the Sunday morning before Christmas. So we found the last few years that we've been able to reach a ton of people that we probably couldn't reach on Christmas Eve. So who are those people in your life? Go ahead and start praying, petitioning, asking of God, hey, help this be a yes this year, and we'll look forward to that in January and all that's coming. So that concludes our Cool It Now, but you go with God and figure out what this series means for the rest of your life, and then come back ready for God to wow us together next week. All right? Have a great week. I'm not saying go Panthers anymore. I'm done. All right? So have a great week.